So this morning, as we continue our study through the book of James, if you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to chapter 4, we'll be looking at the first 12 verses in James chapter 4 this morning. In last week's passage, we saw James talking about the impact of what we say and what we do. We talked about the tongue and the importance of watching the things that we say. At the end of that passage, James said, just for review, he says about wisdom. He says, the wisdom from above is first pure and peaceable and gentle and reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering without hypocrisy, and a seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And so James talked about the importance of wisdom and about making peace. And now we're going to look at chapter 4, where James talks about the opposite of peace. And in this passage we're going to look at today, he talks about quarreling, arguing, and conflicts, and these kind of things. And there are people who like to argue, right? Do you know people who like to argue just for the sake of arguing? That no matter what comes up, they want to argue? Some people like that. There are some people who really, really like conflict. And they just thrive under conflict. They live their life in conflict. And those people are really tough to be around. However, if we're honest, we have all been guilty of being people who cause conflict and people who start arguments and things like that, right? We've all done that, right? We've all been people, maybe in a church or in our family, we've done that. And why do we do that? Why are we people who argue and quarrel? Why is that? Well, you know, it's because we're sinners. It's what we do. It's what sinners do. They fight, they argue, they cause troubles because of who they are. I actually had a conversation with somebody once who was constantly causing conflict, and I pulled them aside, we're having a conversation about this, and they said, you don't understand, this is the way God made me, it's just who I am. And so basically it was God's fault that they were kind of a jerk, right? And so we have this idea of conflict in it. Constant fighting is never, ever a healthy thing. Like, you've been in churches that have constant conflict, it's not healthy. I mean, you've seen families where there's conflict, husband and wife don't get along, conflict with the children, never, never a healthy thing. It's not good for relationships. It's not good. There was a hockey player, it's a professional hockey player by the name of Stan Mitica. And he was one of those enforcer guys. He was always fighting. You watch hockey, you know, the joke is what, I was watching a fight and a hockey game broke out, right? All right, this is a guy who was always one of those guys. And his daughter, he shares this story, says his daughter came up to him and says, Dad, isn't the, aren't in hockey, aren't you trying to score goals? And he says, yeah, that's what we're trying to do. And she says, well, how do you do that if you're always in the penalty box? You see, we have a mission that God has for us. And there are times that we can get distracted from the mission because we're fighting over things. Sometimes these things don't matter. Sometimes they do matter. If they don't matter, we got to get rid of them. If they do matter, we have to learn how to deal with conflict in the appropriate way. And that's what James does here. He challenges us to humble ourselves before God so that we can handle conflict the way that we should. So as we look at this, how are we people of peace, as he says at the end of chapter 3? What is the proper way to handle conflict? When I was growing up, I had a bunch of cousins, and we would always hang out together, and because we were always hanging out together, there was always conflict, right? A bunch of little kids were always fighting over something, and my Uncle Paul would always walk out, he'd see us fighting, and he would stop, and he'd look at us and say, fight nice, and he'd walk away. That was our instructions, fight nice. All right, James here tells us really how to fight nice. Conflict is going to exist, and when it does, here are some things to consider. So let's look at the first part of this morning, in the first four verses where James says, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and you don't have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have it because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your own pleasures. You adulterous, you know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. All right, so I'm going to ask the question, have you ever had conflict in your life? And you're all going to nod your heads. You're going to say, yes, we've had conflict in our life. Of course we have. But have you ever stopped to consider the source of conflict in your life? Where is it coming from? And so take a moment, maybe now this morning, as you're here and you're thinking, okay, what conflict are you dealing with right now? And as you think about the conflict that maybe you're dealing with, maybe an argument you're having, maybe a disagreement you're having, and think about what the source is. Where is it coming from? What's causing it? See, that's what James is asking here as you're thinking about it. He says, hey, what's going on? Obviously, there's a big issue here. And he says, why are you constantly fighting? Why is there constant conflict? Why is this? And what we usually do when we get to this point is we say, I know what the source of my conflict. It's that jerk over there. It's somebody who disagrees with me. The source of our conflict, we want to look and point someplace else and say, that's the source of our conflict. And James is suggesting that maybe, just maybe, we should look at ourselves. Maybe we should look inwardly when these things that are happening. What are desires within us that cause fights and quarrels? Look, I can think of some things, and as I was studying this passage, I'm going to tell you honestly, I didn't like it very much. Because I had to look inside, and I don't really like doing that a whole lot. So as I'm looking at this, preparing to preach it, I started thinking about some of these things. And, you know, when it comes to arguments, there are some things that I need to understand here and some things that we do. One of the things that I noticed for me is, look, I want to be right. I like to be right. And so when there's an argument, sometimes I just want to be right. More importantly, I don't want to be wrong, and I don't want somebody to show me that I'm wrong, right? And so I don't like that. I don't like to be corrected. And so this comes from some pride and some self-centeredness on my part. And another issue is I like to win. And sometimes when we argue, we have conflict, it no longer becomes about the issue, right? It becomes about winning. I got to make sure I win. I'm a competitive person, and so I'm going to win this argument. What does that even mean to win an argument? I don't know, but right? We want to do this when the issues don't matter. I want to win. Sometimes we have some things within us about this idea of, well, if somebody argues with me, there's conflict, then maybe I'm not being respected. Maybe I'm not being praised. Maybe I'm not appreciated. And so we have these inner things that sometimes we struggle with in these conflicts. Sometimes maybe it's a desire to be heard, and maybe we don't have anything beneficial to say, but we just want to be heard anyway. And so we're going to speak louder so that people hear us, even if it doesn't matter because we want to be heard, right? We can keep this list going. All of you can make a list of all these things that happen inside of us that keep us arguing in conflict. And James says, man, think about this source. And maybe, just maybe, it might be your selfish desires. And we probably don't want to hear that. As we look at this practical thing in James, we don't want to hear that sometimes a source of conflict in our life might be us, and that we need to humble ourselves. In verse 2, it says that it's your own selfishness is part of the problem. You have longings that are unfulfilled, and says you are envious and you cannot contain, so you fight in your quarrel. We get stirred up and we're miserable, and so we go into attack mode and make other people miserable as well. So if we find ourselves, if you find yourselves in a place where you're constantly in conflict, where you're going through a period in your life where there's a lot of arguing in your life, there's probably some kind of a spiritual issue that needs to be dealt with in your own life. And it probably isn't about other people. It's probably about you. And James turns and he focuses on this idea of a relationship with God. And as I thought about this, I thought about early on in the Bible, we had Cain and Abel. Right? Cain had an issue. And because Cain had an issue, what does he do? He goes and he kills his brother. He blamed Abel for the problem, and he kills his brother. But if you read the story, what was Cain's issue? Was it ever with Abel? It really wasn't. It was between him and God. He had an issue with God. He had an issue in his relationship with God, and we need to consider that. And so we look at this. James turns that focus and says, look, have a conversation with God. Deal with God on your issues of this anger and this frustration and this argument that comes alongside. And he goes on and he talks about this idea of asking. As I was studying this, I was thinking about what are some things that what do we want in life? And I would say that if you ask people what they want in life, a majority of people are going to say, I want to be happy. I want to be happy. I'll do whatever I can to bring me the most happy. I think people want to be happy. And that sounds innocent, and it sounds like that's a good thing. Like we should want to be happy. I mean, I like to be happy. Right? It sounds like something we should strive for, but if that is our focus, is on us being happy, then we miss out on some things. Because really, if we're looking at our happiness by definition, that means we're not living to love others and love God. We're living to love us, right? Because we're seeking our happiness. We're not seeking maybe necessarily what God wants, and we're not loving other people. It's about who we are, and that means if we're looking only for our happiness, that might mean that we're not really surrendering our lives to God, because again, we're seeking us and we're not seeking Him. And then we wonder why, when happiness becomes the goal, we're unhappy. When seeking God and serving God is the goal, and being obedient to Him, life is much better. But when we're seeking ourselves, it never really works out that way. There are too many people, especially believers, who are committed to their own happiness in such a way that they're missing out on what God has for them, and they're living completely unhappy lives while they're trying to seek happiness and not seeking God. And so with that in mind, we see this idea of asking God. And James in verse 2, he says, we do not ask. You don't get what you want because you don't ask God. And why do we not ask God? Because if we ask God, He might give us an answer we don't want to hear, right? And so I don't want to pray about this. I'm in conflict. I'm having these frustrations and arguing. I'm not going to ask God because God might tell me something I don't want to hear. I'm just going to take care of myself. And James says, look, you don't ask because you don't have because you don't ask. And then he says you don't ask because you have wrong motives. You want God to give you something else, right? You have your own agenda. You're not really looking for God's agenda. When we pray, we say to God, look, I don't really care what you want to do. I don't really care. I'm going to just take care of this myself. I'm going to look out for my own agenda. And there is a complete disconnect. And oftentimes, when we're in conflict, we have this kind of disconnect. James says here that you spend and you squander, you're wasting things. Where our pursuit of pleasure, our self-indulgence, we care more about all cost, and we waste what God has for us. And so he's warning against asking God in this wasteful way. Basically, James is saying this. See, when you're in conflict and when you're quarreling, he's saying that you need to quit acting like a two-year-old unless you're two. Because what happens when a two-year-old is mad? Stomp their feet, throw things, get mad, and want to get their own way. It doesn't matter if their own way is good for them or not good for them. They just want their own way. And if a parent doesn't respond, they're going to hold their breath until they turn blue because somebody's going to recognize them and respond to them. And James is saying, basically, that's how we treat God, and it ought not to be that way. In Psalm 66:8, it says, if I have cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. And so when we pray selfishly, it shows that we're trying to use God for our own purposes rather than seeking His purposes. And 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And Jesus says in John 15:7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And so it's not about asking and getting things by Jesus as some magic formula here, but it means we go to Him in His will. And we know that God has what's best for us, even if we don't really at that time want what's best for us. I have two boys who love video games. I don't like video games at all. I despise video games. My son will tell me I don't like them because I'm not good at them. Right? He's right. I'm not good at them. That's not why I don't like them. And sometimes they'll ask me about buying a video game, especially when they're little. They'd ask me, hey, can I have this game? And I wasn't always sure of the answer. Like, I wasn't sure if it was a good game, if it was not a good game. And I had to do some research. I wasn't sure if I wanted them to have it, because then they were going to disappear for, like, the next 5.5 weeks while they're playing that game. And so I had this struggle in whether or not it was good for them or not good for them, what I should do. And sometimes we have those struggles, but I'll tell you who doesn't have that struggle is God. God always knows what's good for us. He always knows what's best for us. And so we come to Him even when we don't want to. And so James here, he draws a line in the sand. And he says, you have these quarrels and conflicts. And he says, it's because you love the world and you're not loving me. You have your desires over God's desires. You're seeking God and you're not seeking me. And so he draws a line in the sand. And he says, you need to turn that focus on God. In verse 5, he says, or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. See, the problems might be us. The promises come from God. In verse 5, he talks about this idea of a jealous God. And maybe we don't always think of God as being jealous, but God desires, he desires a relationship with us. He desires our undivided attention. He wants this from us. And as a born-again believer, his Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, he resides in us. And he's longing for this relationship with us. And there are times when we may be struggling and spending time with God and struggling in God's Word. And there's a great truth for us to understand. In our times of struggle, we need to understand that God desires a relationship with us more than we desire a relationship with Him. God desires to come alongside us greater than we desire to be with Him. Like, it's not like if we turn to God, we got to meet God halfway. God longs for a relationship with us. He wants us to have that. And he wants to meet us right where we are. And not only is he going to meet us, but he is a grace-giving God. He is full of mercy. No matter what's going on in life, no matter what the conflict is in life, his grace is sufficient. And God offers us reconciliation, and he wants to be in right relationship with us, and he wants us to be in right relationship with others. So after warning his listeners here about fighting and rather than praying and drawing their attention to God's love and his grace and his mercy, James gives a few practical steps here of how we should, what we should consider in dealing with conflict. And he says in this passage that you submit to God. That we truly need to spend some time seeking God in his ways, submit to him during these times. Resist the devil, actively resist. Understand that there are spiritual things that are going on and resist it, flee from it. Heed the words of Peter that says, your enemy the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, actively resisting. And then it talks about drawing near to God. See, too often when there's conflict, we don't draw near to God. We push God away instead. Several years ago, a long time ago, it was a Thanksgiving weekend. It was Wednesday. And Rebecca and I, we had a really, really big fight. It was a big fight. And it was a Wednesday, and we had this community Thanksgiving worship service that we were supposed to go to where all the Southern Baptist churches get together. And Rebecca's got time, and she says, I'm going to church. And I'm like, why are you going to church? We're fighting, all right? Why would you go to church? And she went, and I'm like, well, if she's going to church, I got to go to church. I remember, I was the youth pastor then. I've grown up since then, all right? I'm a lot more mature now. But I said, if she's going to church, I got to go to church, because if she's there, people are going to wonder why I'm not there. So I go to church, and then she's there, and she's worshiping. They're singing the songs, and she's worshiping. And I'm sitting there going, why is she worshiping? We're mad. We're fighting. This is dumb, right? How can she sit there and just work? And I'm having this internal conflict going on. And then God just kind of knocks me aside the head, and he says, Ed, what are you doing? Who's this really about? Who's this really about? And I was humbled that night. I was humbled by my wife and her response to our fighting when it was time. God was first. And I was humbled by what God had to say to me. And God drew near to me. I was trying. I didn't want God to speak to me. I didn't want God to tell me that I was wrong. Again, I didn't want to be right, right? I didn't want God to tell me these things. But I needed to hear from him. See, God doesn't delight in making it difficult for us. He really does want to make it easy for us to come to him. And so we need to allow God to do that. We had, if you're a believer, there is a moment of salvation for you. There is a moment where you received forgiveness of sin and you were set free and you were made a new creation in Christ. Right? Where you confessed your sin and repented of your sin and turned away from that. It was that moment in life where God made you new, and God has a desire for us that we walk in that newness every day. He doesn't desire for us to be people who constantly live in conflict. He desires for us to be people who live walking with Him in the freedom of Him, confessing our sin, removing our sin, fleeing from our sin, and drawing near to Him. That's what He wants us to do, to humble ourselves, He says in verse 10, to humble ourselves before the Lord, to submit to Him and obey Him. This is the opposite of the pride that often leads to the sources of our quarreling and our conflict. This is about not exalting us, which is something that we often do when we find ourselves fighting, but humbling ourselves so that we can exalt God. And in verse 11 and 12, James says, "Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against his brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor?" And so he gives us this little thing here about judging. What James is really saying here is, look, don't slander each other. Don't slander each other. Don't speak evil against someone with the intent of harming them or damaging their reputation. Don't do that. Don't try to create opposition against them. He's saying, look, this is what you don't do when you're in an argument. Don't go and make it about the individual and not about the solution. He says, don't do this. Don't get in an argument or quarrel or conflict and say, okay, I'm going to get my friends over here, and I'm going to talk bad about this person, and we're all going to agree this person's horrible and lousy. It doesn't really matter what the situation is. We just know they're a lousy, horrible person, and that person's like, yeah, they're all their friends over here, and they're going to talk bad about you, and we're going to have this conflict. It's all going to be about the individuals and never about taking care of anything else, and we are slandering each other, we are judging each other, and we're doing exactly what James says here not to do, and that's what he's warning here against. That's the Reader's Digest version of kind of what he's saying here. He says, don't do that. Only God is qualified to judge. Don't say, well, so-and-so did this because this is why. We don't judge a person's motives. What James is not saying, and Jesus never said, was you not to judge somebody's sin, right? He never says that we should avoid calling sin sin. We need to do that. And that's often how this is used. When I talk about judging, he says, you can't tell me what I'm doing is wrong. That's not what it's saying here. But he is saying that however we respond to anybody, how we judge others, we're held to that same accountability. So call sin sin, do that, it's appropriate. But it's never appropriate to judge somebody's salvation, and it's not appropriate to judge somebody's motives, and it's not ever appropriate to take a side where you're fighting against each other and slandering each other just for the purpose of being right. And so this very practical passage, it deals with some things that we all need to deal with. We need to take into account. In today's passage, James reminds us that we have to humbly submit ourselves to God. And we need to do that. It's a good time this morning to consider that in your life, to humbly submit yourself to God, to resist the devil and flee from him. James talks about the importance of prayer. And not just praying this, get what you want, but real prayer before God and a prayer of forgiveness, seeking God's forgiveness, allowing God to restore you, and seeking to forgive others, understanding that our God is a God of grace and mercy. And there'd be a lot less conflict, especially among believers, if we would treat each other the way we expect God to treat us. Now, when I mess up, I really want God's forgiveness. When I'm doing something wrong, I'm hoping God's going to give me mercy. Please don't give me what I deserve. Give me your mercy. And there'd be a lot less arguing conflict, like in our families, husbands and wives, a lot less conflict if we forgive each other and extend mercy to each other. With our kids and our church family, James is saying there's a proper way. Conflict is real, but deal with it in a real and proper way. Stop and repent and ask for God's forgiveness. Turn away from prideful thinking and prideful actions and seek Him. So this morning, as we come to a time of invitation, let me ask you again to consider maybe sources of quarrel or conflict in your life, to consider these and see what your response is to that. What is the source? And be honest enough and humble enough to maybe consider the source just might be you. And if it is, then what do you need to do with it? Maybe this morning there's something you need to lay down at the feet of Jesus. You need to confess and turn to Him so that you can walk in right relationship with Him and in right relationship with others. This morning, take the time to consider the words of James. Maybe this morning you need to seek forgiveness. maybe first from God and maybe forgiveness of others. Maybe you need to extend forgiveness. Maybe this morning you need to heed these words of James and the words of my uncle, and you need to just learn how to fight nice. Conflict is real. Deal with it in a godly, appropriate way. So that, look, there's a world that needs to know Jesus. And the church has this reputation of always fighting with each other. And it shouldn't be that way. The world needs to know there's a God who loves them. And that even though we may have disagreements, we do it in a godly way. There are people in our world who need to see families that function in a godly way. There are people in our world that need to see that husbands and wives can argue and still love each other because they do it in a godly way. This morning, consider where you are. Listen to the voice of God. Humble yourself and respond to Him as we stand together and as we sing.
Soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and light for abundant and free. So turn your eyes upon the light of His glory and grace, through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there. Over us sin no more has dominion, for more than conquerors we shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His